Hey, this is Tony Paisano from Greenwich, Connecticut, and you're listening to HRBB Podcast.
Recording from our headquarters in Old Town Orange, welcome to the Hot Rod 5 Boys Podcast. Welcome back to the HRBB Podcast. This is episode 79. We're broadcasting once again from our headquarters here in Old Town Orange. I'm here with the co-host, Christopher Coddington. How we doing, buddy?
Good, good.
Yeah, dude, it's Friday.
Yeah.
It's been a good week. And, yeah, we're going to go down memory lane here with somebody who was a customer of your dad's.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. We talk about the theme is, you know, we bring it up all the time. It's like, you know, we can build these cars, you can build these cars, but you need to build them for somebody. And these customers make these dreams happen.
Right.
So let's introduce Tony Paisano.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Tony. How you doing?
Hey, welcome to be here. I'm great to be here, Ed. Yep, thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time, Tony. You know, it's always a pleasure talking to you. And now we've been talking about doing the podcast for a while, but now we're sitting down and we're actually doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So, yeah, that sounds exciting.
So, you know, Tony, you've owned some notable cars, one being the Led Zephyr. And, you know, a lot of people will remember that car. But let's take it back. You know, with your history and how you met my dad and how
from
that,
the beginning.
Yeah, from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I think it was early in the 1990s. I met your dad and your mom up at the Newport Nationals in Rhode Island, you know, and it was a big car show there. And we hit it off pretty good, you know. We just started talking about cars and things like that. And after that, you know, we didn't talk for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you know, we started talking again. I called him because I bought a 32 Ford that I think was your dad's personal car from Butch Martino.
Yep.
And I still own that car, and I've owned it now for about, I'd say, 30 years, you know. And it's still to that era. I haven't changed a thing. Not the upholstery, not the wheels, nothing. Everything is still circa 1987, I believe, you know.
Yeah, good looking car.
So I still have.
When?
Yeah, and it's a real nice car, and I keep it that way. I don't touch it. Craig Neff did all the metal work on it when Craig was working for your dad at the same time they were building Cadzilla.
Yeah.
And so that was exciting for me, you know. And one thing led to another. And then around 1999, we started talking about the Led Zephyr. Well, let me bring it back a month or two. I called your dad and I said, listen, Boyd, I said, I would love to build a roadster for the Oakland Roadster Show. Cause I really want to build that car. And at that point, I had Tom Taylor draw up some sketches for that car, and it was beautiful. So I talked to Boyd about it, and Boyd said, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fly out to Connecticut and talk to you personally. I said, yeah, fine. So he flew out here to Greenwich, Connecticut, and he liked the car, and I still have the sketches for that car. Maybe one day I'll build it. I don't know. But he approached me on a different car, which was the Led Zephyr. So I said, yeah, that's fine. I said, okay, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, we'll do it. So we agreed on building that car. And it turned out fantastic.
Yeah, because that car, the Led Zephyr, was in the initial stages, right? Before.
Yes, it was in the initial stages. What Boyd did, they bought a 1938 Lincoln Zephyr body. That wasn't going to work. So they decided just to keep the dashboard from that car and just have Marcel build a whole new shell. And that's when I came into the picture. And, you know, and we started building it from there on, you know.
Yeah, because, you know, I have it's kind of a funny story with that one. Because I think originally that was started out, Ron Kraft was originally starting to get that
thing. Ron Kraft was first, right.
So what happened
was, initially started the project.
Yeah, and
I really don't know what happened to Ron at that point, you know?
Well, you know, I can fill you in because, you know what, after my dad passed away, I had a lot of people hit me up and tell me stories. And you know what, you know, because when someone dies on you, you know, you got some, there's stories that they wanted to share, you know, and I felt like Ron called me one day. This is in like 2000, because Ron has since passed. And this was like probably 2011 or 12.
Uh-huh.
I just had started back up the Hot Rods by Boyd thing, and he called me, and he was just talking to me, and he shared a story of what happened. He says, you know, I have one regret. He goes, because that the body was, yeah, like you said, was over at Marcel's. And I think, I don't even know at what stage the body was at that point, right? I think this was still really, really early on. And
you're right.
What had happened was there was a little, you know, because of the falling out with the business and all that, there was, you know, a little rift between my dad and Chip at the time.
Sure.
And he goes, Ron's like, I screwed up. He says, I was at Marcel's and we were looking at the drawing and Chip walked in because Chip had something else going on over there. And Chip says, or Ron says, hey, Chip, what would you change about this? Right? And Chip gave him some advice. And Ron went to my dad and said, hey, Boyd, I ran into Chip at Marcel's and he thinks we should do blah, blah, blah. Oh, my dad came unglued. Right? My dad came unglued, and Ron says, I made a mistake. I should have never asked Chip, and even if I did ask Chip, I shouldn't have never told your dad, because I guess then the next day, my dad calls Ron and says, hey, Ron, I want to buy the Zephyr project back from you. I want to do it myself. And then I think that's where you come in.
And that's where I came in.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's what...
So
yeah, that's why it worked out great, yeah. You know. I people always say to me, why did you sell that car? Why did you bring it to Barrett Jackson? Well, you know, I showed it everywhere, you know, and the absorber, do you remember the absorber?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so I forget his name now, but he was in charge of all the advertising and everything. So you know, they started advertising, and I was going under their banner to different shows, Daytona Raceway and other places they were bringing me. So his son at that point was going to a design school out there in California, I believe.
Okay.
Design school, a big design school or whatever. So he says, Tony, you know, that Led Zephyr would look great in a Roadster version, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, well, yeah, so maybe you're right, you know, so. I figured, well, I did what I did with the Zephyr. I said, let's build the Roadster version. So I sold them. I sold it at Barrett Jackson, and it went into Ron Pratt's collection. But other things came up, and I never got really, you know, to do that car. And then your dad passed away. So I still have all the sketches for a Roadster version of the Led Zephyr here in my home. Yeah, one thing led to another, you know, and that's what happened with that car. And to this day, I'm, you know, I just feel real bad that I sold that car, and I wish I still had it. Tell you the truth,
it's definitely.
But in between all that, your dad did a couple other cars for me. You know, he built the blue Boyster for me. Yep. You know, and I still have a black 32 Roadster here, which I hardly ever use. And actually, that is the last car that came out of that shop, because your best friend Dan finished it for me there.
My best friend,
you know.
And funny I still guy, have, funny guy.
And I still have that car, and it's a beautiful car.
Yeah, you have a pretty cool picture on your profile on Facebook of the 32, the Boydster, and the Zephyr together.
And the Zephyr, yes, correct. Yeah, yeah, that's when I had all three of them together. You know, but let me tell you, you know, I said to Boyd, you know, I would love to have a Boydster. He goes, Tony, don't say anymore. He goes, I'm going to build you a real nice one. So, you know, he built his Boydster. It's beautiful. And it was in the background of a lot of the American Hot Rod shows in the background there. And actually in one episode, Mario Andretti drove it, you know.
And, yeah, and did they use exciting. That for the, they used it for the Magnaflow ad, right?
For the Magnaflow, yes, exactly.
Yeah, because that's when we were sponsored by Magnaflow.
Yeah. You know, and then when that car arrived here to Connecticut and it came off that, it was just such a beautiful car, you know. That's why I always trusted your dad. I always felt good, you know, about doing business with him, because he was a stand-up guy as far as I'm concerned, you know.
Hi, this is Chris Coddington. I'd like to invite you to our new YouTube channel, Hot Rods by Boyd. Up there, you will see legacy footage involving my father, Boyd Coddington, along with the latest and greatest things that are happening here at Hot Rods by Boyd. Go to YouTube and check out Hot Rods by Boyd. Like and subscribe. Well, were you at the at the Oakland Custom Show? Were you there when the Zephyr got unveiled?
No, I wasn't. Okay. Chris, I don't fly. I don't like to fly, and that's one of the reasons.
That's why I asked because I know you don't like to fly. So I'm wondering if you made the drive out. You know, that's a long drive.
No. And, I wasn't there at that point. I know Mike Curtis was there and Charlie was there.
Oh, no, I have some. That was roughly probably 8 months after I went back to work for my dad.
I remember
crunch time, right? Because my dad had never missed a deadline. And this is when they were over in Robbie Gordon's old shop. And I remember walking up.
I think your brother Greg was working with your dad at that point.
Yeah, he was there. And I remember it was me and another guy. We rolled in to the, I wanted to just go see the progress, right? And I'm walking in and my dad was stressed to the max. And he had that, you know, his office faced that, there was a window out to the parking lot. And I start walking up and he comes out and he stops us all. I go, "Don't go back there and bother these guys." And I was like, "Okay, all right." So, you know, I felt like just like, okay, you know. So I went up to the show and that was, I mean, I don't know how much damage was done, but we kind of ruined a couple hotel rooms. And and my dad, you know what? He didn't say nothing because it was just kind of like everyone stepped up. Everybody in that shop stepped up and made that happen.
And
you know what? Hey, we all blew off a little steam at the end and
he paid the bill.
So let
me just say one funny thing here. You know, when it came time for paint job on the Zephyr there, he goes, "Tony, what color do you want to paint it?" Because we were doing everything, you know, by phone, really.
Yeah.
You know, we talked by phone because I'd never seen the car. And he says, "What color do you want to paint it?" I said, "Well, you know, black is my color. I want to paint it black." He says, "No, I think we're going to paint it yellow and gray with a purple pinstripe." So put that in the back of your mind. Is this guy flying off the wall or what, you know? Well, yellow and gray with a purple pinstripe, you know?
But
it worked out great. You know?
And I noticed
worked
that
out great.
My dad had already had it in his head when he asked you, right? You know?
Yeah.
Hey, what color are we going to paint? Hey, Tony. Yeah, the same thing happened with Ron Pratt's Corvette. My dad, for some reason, Ron Pratt was telling him it was going to be yellow. And my dad just had it in his head. They were painting everything black. And I remember the thing was painted. It was totally painted, everything. And Ron calls him. I remember I was standing next to my dad when he got the call. Ron's like, "Hey, how's that? How'd that yellow turn out? I'd love to see it." My dad's all, "Yellow, huh? Oh, yeah. And he goes, "Let me call you back." And yeah, and I remember.
I think his dad had to take it all apart, right?
Greg and Justin and those guys spent. Oh God, I don't know because they were behind. They spent. I forget how long they spent redoing that whole deal. Yeah,
right.
But yeah,
wow.
So
yeah.
Well, and you know what? He got a lot of shit too for painting the original the Boydster 3 for the first episode that blue and yellow. You know, but
what
though? I mean, he was always trying to throw different things out there, you know? I mean, you got to appreciate that because there's some builders out there that have a formula. They have a formula, and they haven't strayed away from the formula. They do good work, but there's some formula guys out there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I remember on one episode when they were building the Mustang for Scotty Gray.
Yeah.
Remember the Mustang, the fastback?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have any paint, and so they had the paint left over from the Zephyr. They painted the yellow from the Zephyr.
Okay. Yeah.
So that car was painted yellow from my paint. Yeah.
Oh, right on. Yeah, you know, what was the magazine that Buckaroo did for a while? Was it Street Rod Builder? Street Rod Builder. Street Rod Builder, because wasn't the Zephyr was in metal finish, I think, in that, on the cover?
Right. Yes, Yes, it was, and I still have a couple of those issues, and it was also on the cover of Super Rod magazine in the Raw.
Yeah. Yeah, I love looking at some of those cars in just the raw metal finish, you know?
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah, a lot of work went into that car.
Yeah, that was some good memories, because that would have been 2000, when that car debuted in what, 2001 or 2? 2001.
Around 2000, 2001.
Yep.
Yeah. Because the Super Rod magazine put it on their Super Rod 10 Best of 2001 that year.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that's a car still to this day that people just look at and just
iconic, you're not kidding.
Iconic car.
Yeah, it was. So but, what, yeah, I truly miss it. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, as time went on, Boyd and I were just great friends. You know, so when your dad passed away, I said, that was I think on a Thursday or something. So I said to my wife, I said, Val, I said, I'm going to have to bite the bullet and fly here because I need to go out to California, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
You did it, and you made it.
Yeah. And I made it, you know, and I was happy I did, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the services. I went up to the, you know, to the house up on the hill there. Yep. And, you know, and it was good.
Yeah. No, yeah. That was a rough time for us, but it was nice that many people could be there. Parts of it got to be kind of a circus there at the garage there, you know? You know, I had random people coming up to me asking me, hey, can I have one of your dad's Hawaiian shirts? I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I'm like,
yeah, really?
You know, I'm like, first of all, who are you?
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, I don't know. Like, it's just people are weird, dude.
People are weird.
And also, too,
when you
allow everybody to come in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, who knows?
Exactly.
Who knows? But
you never know what riffraff will come through the door.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
But,
right.
But yeah, that was.
But, you know, fast forward 30 years to now, I have building now a Corvette, which was your dad. They were building it. They started to build it on this, I believe, the show, whatever.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, your dad passed away, and this project went to the side, stayed in limbo there for a few years, and then I got a hold of it, and this is the car I'm doing right now, and I'll probably, you know, finish it soon. I hope.
Nice.
You
know? Where's that at right now?
And it's at a shop in Alabama.
Okay,
know? And they're doing a lot of nice, quick little things to it. It's gonna be a nice car when finished.
Nice,
you know.
Well, that's cool.
So I was building a '54 Chevy too, and I'm still doing that. So I got a couple projects going on right now, you know.
And you still got still have the Blue Boyster.
No, the Blue Boyster. What happened with that? Boy called me up and he says, "Well, you know. Can we make a deal on, you know, I'll build you a roadster." He goes, "I know you want a traditional roadster 32. I said, "Yeah, boy, okay, we'll do that." You know, so I sent the blue car back to him, and I think he stole it to somebody in Hawaii or whatever. But then your dad built me, you know, my black 32, which I still have, like I said. And it really, really nice car, detailed to the max. But I never drive it. I never use it. You know, hardly. I have 11 other cars, you know, so I kind of,
When did I come
so
out
happened,
there?
Well,
go ahead.
So it happened too, and then around 1983, 84, I get an issue of Street Rodder magazine, and there's the Chrome Shop Special on the front.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know the Chrome Shop Special?
Yeah. Yep.
Chris, you ever see that car?
Oh, for sure.
So I said, you know what? I said, oh, man. I said, I really like that car, and one day I'm going to own that car, you know. And I made calls to the owner. Oh, I sold it, and it went out to California, and then it went to the last place I heard it went to Long Beach, and it was in somebody's private collection. So I found it, and I bought it, and I have it now, and I restored it to its original Riddler winner. But then comes to find out that your father had something to do with that car too. It was either that car or the Vern Luce coupe he was going to build, and he decided to build a Vernloos coupe.
Yeah.
So your father almost built this car too for me.
That's crazy. You know? Yeah, because it's definitely it's definitely got that Vernloos coupe vibe to it, but also it's got more of that, you know, we have the original drawings that Tom Taylor did of the Vernloos coupe, and it had a track nose on it, which your car has.
Okay.
Your car, and I'll show you that. Yeah, I don't know if you've never seen that.
No, I've never seen that.
That
really?
It was black with a track nose on it, and then yours actually is red with a track nose on it, but like a real
narrow track nose. Yeah, really narrow.
Yeah, no, that's totally that's totally cool. That's cool that you know what?
Yeah,
like,
so,
go ahead.
So like 3 years ago, I got that car, and it was kind of messy and it was dirty, and it, so I kind of restored it, but I had new upholstery put in it. Got, you know, I couldn't find the original wheel, so I had Mike Curtis make the center. They were just center lines with slots in there. So Mike did that with the knockoffs and everything. And I brought it back with the original look, you know, which is great. And then last year I got a call from the people who run the Riddler at, in Detroit, and they wanted the car there for on display. So yeah, fine. So we bought it out there.
That's a cool car.
You know.
Well, it's cool.
It's cool because
you're such an enthusiast. I mean, you know, here you are in the early 80s saying, hey, one day I'm going to buy that car. And you did.
Yeah.
Where did you find it?
Yeah. What's that?
Where did you end up finding it?
I found it from this fella down in Tennessee, which he bought it from the family of the person who had it in storage in Long Beach for like 10 years, 15 years or more. It never came out. And he found it. He bought it. He decided he didn't like fit in it right and whatever. And I saw it for sale and I called him up right away, sent him a deposit and took possession of it.
Nice.
You know?
That's cool.
Yeah. But I went over the whole car and it's really, really a nice car, you know.
That's really cool.
But yeah.
Yeah, because there's...
That was about it.
Well, you know what? I got a call this morning. They're trying to find, and I haven't had a chance to look into it, but they're doing... they're having the 75th anniversary at the Grand National this next year, and they're trying to put together as many AMBR winners as possible. So they're trying to find the Boydster one, the original red one. So
the original red one.
Yeah.
But didn't they paint that car black afterwards?
No, that was the Boydster two. So.
Oh, that was Boydster.
Yeah, what happened was Chip ended up putting a top on that, the Boydster, because the Boydster 2 was originally yellow. And then they went and they changed the wheels and painted it black and did a few things to it, and that's when they won the AMBR on that one. But the red, the original Boydster 1, I don't know who owns it. I got to look into it. But they're trying to locate it.
You know what happens, Chris? A lot of those cars just disappear, you know, and they're the cars that really made street riding back in the 80s and early 90s, you know?
Yeah.
And they just disappear. A lot of really nice cars, even the AMBR winners of back then.
Well,
you don't see them around anymore.
And you know what happens, too? A lot of times they get bought by people that put together these collections, but they're not into showing them.
Yeah.
Right.
Personal collection.
Yeah. The guy that bought the Aluma truck, and I don't know if he still owns it. This is another call I got 12 years ago. He was a guitar collector. He had a few cars, but he says, Chris, I saw that thing. I don't know if it was at the auction or he saw it for sale. And he's all, I don't know what it was about it. He's all, I'm not even a car guy. I'm a guitar guy. He goes, I had to have that thing. And he bought it.
Yeah.
So
he bought it.
Those things are out there. You know, like you said, the Chrome Shop Special was stuck in storage for 10 years.
That truck was almost mine. And at that point, I said, well, no, I'm coming off the Zephyr right now. Boy, this is, you know, I'm going to take a little bit of a breather here, you know, or else I was going to do that truck with him. And then when I finally seen it, I said, oh, man, I should have done it, you know?
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, that and the Aluminum
Tub. Your dad was one kind of a designer, you know. He had things in his mind, and he just put them to work and they came out beautiful, you know?
Yeah. No, it was cool, man. I'm very appreciative of just the experience I've had, just, you know, cause There was times, I mean, being a kid, you know, I'm a kid, and like I grew up with these hot rods around me, right? But it's also now as an adult, it's a totally different perspective, right? Because now I can see the impact these cars had, you know, the appreciation guys like yourself have for the cars that they've owned, and you know, like the passion they have for it. Like you're talking about the Chrome Shop Special, or you know, buying that, but then also sitting there going, "Man, I shouldn't have let the Led Zephyr go," you know. But you know, But these are iconic cars that. You know, we'll live on, whether they live on in their physical form, like people keep them in good condition, or in print and pictures of them, you know, because.
Yeah, and they're still out there, you know.
Yeah, no, and you know what? I think that was kind of the first time the Led Zephyr at the Oakland Custom Show, I remember being there and watching and kind of just standing around the car. And looking at it, even though I saw the thing being built, just you kind of take a step back and you don't talk to anybody and you just kind of listen to what everybody's got to say, you know?
Yeah.
a lot of shit talking, a lot of people, I would have done this, I would have done that, I would have.
Oh, of course.
And you go, where's your car at? Let's go check that out, you know?
Right.
But also, too, just to hear everybody's opinions on it, you know? Or just, you know?
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. Well, Chris, when the car was finished, Boyd says, "Well, Tony goes, I'm gonna bring it out to you, you know." And I said to him, "I says, well, why don't you bring it to Led East? York East, NSRA York East." He goes, "Well, that's a good idea." So a friend of ours out here in York, in Pennsylvania, has a bar, and he always had street rods there. And I said to him, I said, "Do you mind if we unveil the car here?" He goes, "No, I would love to." His name was Mr. T. And so that's where we unveiled the car at his shop. And then, at his bar. And then the day after, your dad, we drove it from the hotel into the fairground. And you should see the people were 7 to 8 deep all around the car.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, I couldn't even get to it almost, you know. And but then you hear stuff like that, like you were saying, you know.
Oh yeah, everyone,
most of them were good. Most of them.
But it's funny because you know, people were really, really enjoyed that car. But then you get the experts that they don't even, you know, they drove there in a Pinto or something, you know, telling you how you should have built it, you know.
Oh, but, of course, they're all builders and painters, you know.
Yeah, I get it, you know, because I, you know, that was 22 years ago, right? 23 years ago, which and you know, I get people now that will, you know, younger guys, let's say they're, when I say younger, like, let's say they're in their late 30s, right? And they're doing the hot rod thing, and they'll point to cars like that and just say, "That's what got me wanting to build cars, was that car," you know?
Right.
And then also too, you know, I mean, the TV show started right after all that. And it's crazy because you get guys in, you know, they're in their mid 30s and they're like, "Oh, I grew up watching that show." And they go, "Gosh, it's been 20 years." You know, it's like, when I was a kid, I was like, "Oh my gosh." Yeah. That's really time flies, man.
Well, that's how hot rodding transition's been, you know, now to more muscle car type vehicles. But, I think it's going to come around against the street rods, you know.
I hope so.
I hope so
because there's
so, you know.
Yeah, because like you're 32. Like, when did I come out there when you brought your Red 32 to the that car show?
Columbus?
No. Remember the little car show that
in Jersey, I think. It was in New Jersey, was it?
No.
Oh, no. That was upstate Connecticut.
It was up there with where Swag Rides is at.
Yeah, where Glenn.
Glenn's at.
Yeah, where Glenn, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that six, 7 years ago?
7, 8 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just put my eyes on that car then. I mean, you're talking, even at that point, it's still, it was almost 30-year-old car, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Still nice.
Unbelievable.
Well, and that's
what are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's a cool. It's cool. You're taking care of these things. You're a good curator and owner of these cars. It's nice.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, but I built a few cars myself. You know, just learning things that, you know, I was putting a 48 convertible together, which I still have, and I call your dad. I said, I said, boy, I'd like to put a nice set of wheels and tires on here. You know, he goes, well, what do you have in mind? I said, I like the 5 stars that you were building, you know, you're making. And lo and behold, like 3 weeks later, there were 4 boxes at my house with the tires and rims already mounted.
Oh, that's
you
fun.
Know, ready yeah. for the car.
Yeah.
And I still have them on the car to this day.
Oh, really?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Your dad was pretty good to me, you know.
Yeah, no, he was.
Yeah, he was a good fella.
Well, you know? And you know what? He always appreciated. I mean, because like I said, I've said a million times, it's like you know, it takes a team to do this, but it also takes the customers to finance these projects
oh,
and to say, hey, this is what yes. I want. You know, and it's cool.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's really cool,
yeah,
and
exactly.
That's why I'm glad you were able to take the time here to talk to us, because that's so. Do you get out to car shows much with these cars, or are you just enjoying them for yourself? Or?
Oh yeah. Like I'll go to the Good Guys Columbus, you know, every year we've been going there, which is about a 10-hour ride from Connecticut here.
Yeah.
And we'll go to York East. And then, you know, we have a fun run up in Cape Cod, Martha's Vineyard area up in near Boston. We'll do that. I go to, you know, Pigeon Forge down in Tennessee, Bobby Alloway's show.
Are you going to, did you go to the Triple Crown of Hot Rodding last year?
I didn't go last year for some reason. I didn't get there, you know,
okay.
I was busy with something else, you know.
Tony, do you take a different car to every different show or?
What's that?
Do you take a different car to, at like every show you take a different car to?
Every car, yeah, is different.
Right
yeah.
on. With 11
it's
cars,
fun.
You have the options.
Oh, yeah, you definitely have options. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
I'm going to try
year,
to get
I
out the Triple Crown this
I got
year.
A call from the NSRA. They want to have the chrome stop car in Kentucky, so I'll bring it to Kentucky. They want to put it in indoor building because I think he said it's the 80th birthday of the 34 or something like that. So they're honoring you know, some of the 34s.
I guess, yeah.
90s.
That made street rotting.
No, it'd be,
yeah.
It would be 80.
Of the 34?
80. 80.
No, it'd be 90.
Yeah, 80 years old.
No, 90.
I can't think of
it. It'd be 90.
90.
Yeah, if it's 1934.
Yeah, we're 24.
Wow. We're 24, yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Time
yeah,
flies.
So I'll do that.
That's cool. Is that,
yeah,
that's
we
Kentucky
go around.
Because
we'll go, I'd go to,
that's Kentucky because I'm going in a few weeks out to Knoxville.
Okay.
Yeah, Scott's Hot Rods is having an open house. Scott's Hot Rods is having an open house on the Thursday before the show. So,
oh, I see.
Yeah,
oh, that's
I'm
cool.
going there, yeah. and then I'm going to go. Then I'm flying to that same week and flying to another small show over in Louisiana. So.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll hook up with you sometime this year.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
And we'll talk some more.
Yeah, because I think the last time. You know. When's the last time I saw you? Well, I remember we had I ran into you in Columbus a few years ago.
A few years ago,
yeah.
Yeah,
it was like
you had your car there.
Four or five years ago, yeah, yeah.
The boys are there. But that was a few years ago. That must have been 10 years ago.
God, was it that long ago?
Yeah, we go to Columbus every year. It's an enjoyable run.
Yeah.
But, that's about it, you know.
Well, cool. Well, Tony... I've had a good time talking to you, man. Thank you for taking the time out. And,
sure.
You know,
it's my pleasure.
Keep doing what you're doing. And I want to see, where are you going to have the Chrome Shop special? Because I definitely would want to see that thing in person.
Yeah. You know, there was another car in 1984, the something Star. Do you remember that car? It won the Oakland Roadster show in 1984, and mine won the Riddler in 84. So he's thinking maybe next year putting both the cars in the show together.
Oh, that's cool.
So I might do that, bring it out to California. You know?
Oh, nice.
But
nice.
I'll just bring it to Kentucky this year. Otherwise, it stays in the garage here.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't bring it to any local shows. I'll bring another car to local shows.
Yeah.
Man, do you got just a room full of trophies?
I just finished a 1947 Cadillac convertible. You know, I kept it all stock. I rebuilt the whole car, and I'm enjoying that car now. You know?
Nice.
But, yeah, it's cool.
Well, cool.
Yeah,
well,
I like cars. You know, I'm a big drag race fan, so I do that too. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, right on. Well, thank you very much. And
oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Enjoy the rest of your day here. And
I will. You know, today unusual because we had a 4.8 earthquake here in Connecticut.
Really?
We never do.
Yeah.
So the house shook a little bit.
Wow.
So we know what you guys in California are feeling.
we're used to those.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The 4.8 here is
that's a pretty big deal.
That's a nice jolt.
I don't know if I've ever heard anybody from back east talk about an earthquake like that.
No, we don't have any earthquakes here.
That's crazy.
And I'm just wondering, you know, I live like 50 miles from New York City. I'm wondering how they felt there.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Because 4.8, yeah. That's 4.8 on that starts to get in that level of, yeah, you know something's happening, right?
You feel
something's
that.
Happening.
I mean,
yeah.
we have a train running 30 yards from us here, and that feels like a 2 or 3.0
yeah, right?
You know, a few times a day.
Yeah.
So,
especially a big freight train. Yeah.
All right, Tony. Well, thank you very much,
all right,
man. And we enjoyed it. It was good.
Sure,
thanks,
Chris,
for sharing.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Bye. All right. Thank you to our guest, Tony Paisano, for calling in. Chris, we have anything to add here before we cut out?
No. Just everybody keep going. Keep listening. Maybe head on over to our YouTube channel.
Yep.
And check out some stuff. Steve's been doing a good job of populating that with some videos and hit new stuff, wheel stuff, historic stuff.
Yep.
And then
subscribe to that.
Yeah.
Smash the subscribe button.
Like and subscribe. All right, guys.
All right, we're getting out of here. It's the weekend. Thank you, listeners. On behalf of Chris Kyington, my name is Steve Guerrero. Thank you for tuning into the Hot Rods by Boy podcast. We will talk to you next time.
See you.